Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back here on a beautiful Tuesday morning. 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and of course the Civic Media app, 69 degrees in Oshkosh, 67 in Appleton, 66 in Green Bay. Wow. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Ordering doors in an older home can be a real challenge. Jim knows that. The way they did things in 1900 is a little different than today. I'll tell you what. It's why many people with historic homes reach out to Pella. Their team of experts can customize windows and doors that match architecture from any era. Really doesn't matter what kind of a home you live in. They offer nearly endless possibilities and design flexibility in sizes, custom colors, finishes, and so much more. And if you order today from Pella, get 0% interest for up to 48 months. Certain restrictions do apply. It ends on the 30th of June. Pella's products stand the test of time. With a deal like this, there's no reason to wait any longer. Zero interest up to 48 months if you order by June 30th at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Just a plug on the historic. Pella can do any building, new builds, you know, in 1980, 90 houses. But the historic thing, those are tricky. And, you know, where I live in Astor Park, we have a lot of Pella windows. And if you Astor Park, I know some of you guys listened, Pella. Even in Appleton, they've got some beautiful historic homes in Appleton, don't they?
Phenomenal.
Yeah. We got a friend who lives there.
So does Matt Jenkins. Michigan Avenue.
Right. Yeah. And Oshkosh, too. But you want to keep those homes up. I've talked to you about that. It's not cheap, but they're beautiful homes.
But if you want to keep and restore.
Yeah, 1915, 1910. And there's just stuff that they don't build anymore. But you got to upgrade the... They didn't have good windows back then. So
and you got to find the right people that can do it so they all match.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Alicia Wieger joining us right now, Executive Director. Good morning.
Good morning.
Alicia, did I pronounce that right? Wieger?
Wenger.
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 All right. I knew either the N or the G. Is one of them silent, Alicia? I think I picked the wrong one.
You just gotta chunk it out like Wang.
Okay, Wenger. So there's the G is not pronounced. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, she really wanted to come on our show and talk about her name.
No, all right.
Christine.
Christine. Oh, yeah. That. Well, Christine. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
What?
No, go ahead.
Christine Ann.
All right.
That's the name of the organization.
Yeah. I thought you were calling her Christine.
No, we just went through her.
Happens all the time.
Okay. Right. See, well, you must feel good about that.
I apologize for my partner.
You must feel good about that. That's quite the organization. So we have the Golden House in Green Bay. They just did a major expansion. And, you know, I want to word this right, but I'm kind of sorry to hear you're doing a major expansion, too, because the need is there. And, you know, I don't know what kind of world.
Yeah, like we were talking, we said, geez, you know, I wish the news would be, we're going to downsize.
Right.
We just don't have as many people that need help anymore.
But we're going to rent out space. But you're doing
just
the opposite.
Nobody makes them smaller, do they? Nope.
So you're moving across. Tell us about your organization, what you all do for domestic violence.
Sure. Yeah. So Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services, we serve all individuals and families that are impacted by domestic abuse. Our primary service area is Winnebago County and Green Lake counties. But that doesn't mean that it's restricted to just those counties. We have people who come from all over. And a lot of times we work in collaboration with Golden House, Harbor House, all over, because sometimes it's far too unsafe to stay within your own county. So people have to go a little bit further for the safety aspect of it. So we provide emergency shelter, legal advocacy, outreach services, youth services, and then community education. Those are really kind of the big pillars of what our organization does.
Wow. You know, one thing that surprised me here, Jim, I just actually circled it. I thought Wisconsin is eighth in the nation for domestic violence homicide. Wow. How did Wisconsin get there?
Yeah, that's correct. And that number, there is a very good chance that Wisconsin has actually gone up because that was from 2022 numbers. That's not including last year. So, unfortunately, domestic violence homicides have definitely been on the rise. We've seen that throughout our communities. And the state of Wisconsin, like you said, is eighth in homicides due to domestic violence.
oh, I just hate hearing that.
Yeah.
But whatever. Thank God for people like you. So how does someone, and I think that's great. I never really thought about the reciprocal arrangements you have, but to get out of this violence, maybe it is best to come down to Oshkosh or Apple.
Be anonymous.
Right. Tell me about how we get in touch. The domestic violence, they're living in this environment and they need to get out, but they're afraid to. They don't know how to. Like, what's the first step?
Yeah, the first step would be to call our 24/7 helpline. We have advocates that are ready to answer, and 24/7, 365 days a year, there is always going to be a person on the other end of that phone ready to provide support. So all people have to do is to call our helpline at 920-235-5998. And that's how they get in touch. That helpline is anonymous. So if they're really not ready to give us any information, they can just sit and simply talk and just get some emotional support.
One of the other things that's said here is you say because of our current facility has limitation, it results in us turning away over 50 individuals from the shelter each year. That has to be heartbreaking.
It is. It's absolutely because people who would otherwise be who would be accepted into our shelter, unfortunately, because of the limitations that our building provides, we simply just cannot accommodate some of the needs. So if we have multiple large families that are seeking safety of the shelter at the same time, unfortunately, we only have one bedroom that has seven beds in it. So if we have multiple large families, we simply just cannot accommodate that. Same with our ADA accessible rooms. We have 3 out of our 10 bedrooms are ADA accessible. And so if we have multiple folks who are in need of a first floor bedroom, and those are full, then we have to connect with Golden House or Harbor House or Solutions in Fond du Lac to make sure that person does get the appropriate support. But yeah, unfortunately, our building has served us well for over 30 years, and there have been multiple renovations done on the building throughout the years. It started as a single family home, so it really wasn't meant to be what we're using it for, but we're just simply at a time where we are outgrowing it.
So as the executive director of the Christine Ann, sometimes people think you're dealing with one person suffering domestic violence, but you're talking, I think you just sort of reemphasize, it can be the whole family that needs protection.
Absolutely. We see a large chunk of the folks that are coming to see us are bringing their children with them. Whether that's a mother who's bringing her 4 or 5 kids, or even a father who's bringing their couple of kids with them. So we serve everybody at Christine Ann. Anyone can be impacted by domestic abuse. And so more often than not, our shelter is quite full with families that are running around there.
Okay.
During
COVID. Right. Well, let's give me a list of the way we can help right now.
Yeah. Well, financial donations are obviously a huge piece of this campaign. You can donate online or by sending anything to our Oshkosh location at 206 Algoma Boulevard in Oshkosh. We have a wish list on our website that people can go on, and they can go on our Amazon wish list, select whatever our needs are. That's updated monthly, and that just ships directly to us. So that is a super easy way to donate. And then also there's the donation of time. Right. So we are seeking many different volunteers for different volunteer opportunities that we have. So volunteerism is amazing, and we rely on the support of volunteers to help us.
Some of the areas there with cleaning, assembling furniture, painting, storage areas, stocking, things like that, and more.
Yeah. You bet.
Need it all. So, hey, is that still going on, that Otto Bremer, the match?
It is, yes.
Oh,
it
talk
is,
about yeah. That is like people feel really good because if they give you $100, it's actually $200, you know?
Or, yeah.
But you even say here that you can give up to $250,000 and he's going to match it. So
correct.
I hope somebody's listening that can give $250,000. But anything from $1 up to $250,000 is matched. Tell me how long that goes on.
Yeah. So it goes on as long as we raise the $250,000. So, we are taking gifts of all sizes. Any little bit helps because we're going through a huge expansion right now to move to the building right next door. And that that grant from Otto Bremer was a huge opportunity for us. And so any gifts that are donated is being matched dollar for dollar up to $250,000.
Wow. Okay. So once again, you're the executive director of the Christina Ann Foundation. And once again, in each of the last 4 years, Wisconsin has lost around 100 lives to domestic violence. That's incredible. 100 of innocent people killed because of domestic violence, eighth in the nation, and unfortunately moving up on those statistics. And you guys are here to prevent that.
Correct. Yes.
Beautiful. Just,
thanks for doing that.
Yep.
And we've had the people on here from Golden House. I want to talk to the people from Appleton, but you know, I think we all like, you know, the Packers, the universities, you know, the downtown Sawdust District, all the stuff you're doing there. But we have to remember that
it's a dark side.
It's a dark side, and we need to, you know, shine a little bit of light on that. And the way we do that is for you coming on and talking about us, and Johnny and I talking about it, even when you're not on our show, is to remind people that this is going on. And, you know, this is part of our responsibility of living here. We got all these great things, but we can't forget about the things that aren't so great. And that's where we can step up with the time or the treasure.
And give us one email or phone number. I don't want to give a bunch of them. Give us one that would really work that you'd like us to put out there.
Anyone who's interested in getting in touch with us can email safertogether@christineann.net. That is the name of our capital campaign that we're running right now. And so that's the easiest way to get in touch with us about how you can help support survivors of domestic abuse and this huge expansion for Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services.
Fantastic. How's it going so far?
It's going really well. So the community has just been so generous. We just launched our public phase of the campaign on May 15th. And out of our $7 million campaign, we are at $5.9 million committed.
Oh, man. That's awesome. So
we've done a lot of work up until this point, and we are just at the final push to help us get that last $1 million. So
right. Beautiful.
We're excited. Yeah.
We'll keep pushing. All right. This is great. Thank you again. I mean, it's just, you make this a better world, and you know, what you're doing in Oshkosh is great. And, but people all around that need to support you, not just the people in Oshkosh, Appleton, Green Bay, you need that help. And especially the people who are using your facility. So, all right. Well, thank you again for doing this. We'll get the word out.
Thanks, Alicia.
Yes. It takes a village. I appreciate you both as well. So
anytime, whatever we can do, we're there for you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. We come back. Erica's going to join us again. And then Douglas Darby and Jacob Jansen, Turning the Page. You don't want to miss that. Back after this. I put them all behind, and it was you, woman, right down the line. So, Todd.
Yes, sir.
You know, you always, people wonder sometimes what we're saying right before we go on.
Yeah.
Words. A sentence that has never been uttered on this show before and probably won't be again.
Yep.
Okay. Jim says to our special guest here, Eric, he goes, did you know the mayor of Philadelphia? You knew the mayor, right? And Eric goes, yeah. He goes, did you ever hear him rap? Oh, man, can he rap?
He would do that at conventions. You got to listen to him. I'm sure he's on YouTube. High energy.
You know what? I actually think I've heard that before.
Oh, yeah,
and Jim, he was good.
What?
Yeah. Was he good?
Yes.
Okay, then maybe it's not the guy I'm thinking.
Oh, he will not like that. Oh, man.
Well, things I never thought of here. Did you hear the mayor rap?
Anyway. Well,
Eric, tell us one more time here. You got a great store going on. You got a great, well, how do I put it? Industry, system, whatever. Well, it's from your own, but it's.
It's so unique. What
it's
he's
so
doing.
Unique. I can't put it into words, but it's Life Love Incorporated. It's a clothing brand that stands for living your life, loving your life, and incorporating yourself into life. Establishing the foundational components of the brand, Eric has set out to create something that would inherently bring people together, yet allow you, Eric, to express your creativity in various forms. The apparel and accessories are really something special. And once again, they all come from your brain and your talents. You create in your brain, and then you're one of those crazy people that I am so envious of that can then put that down and create a beautiful piece of art.
Yeah, man, I really do appreciate it. I just feel like we all are unique, you know, and I'm trying to help, you know, correlate that understanding to everyone. You know, it's just like, it doesn't even matter. Like, it could be a skill, it could be an idea, or just a perspective, you know, because I feel like we're all trying to get to the finish line, right? But we're trying to uniquely get there in our own way. So that's ultimately one of the things that I'm trying to help pinpoint with the brand.
You know what I think is cool, too, Jim? We're very good friends with the folk, Naomi and everybody at the Art Garage. And these are those kind of behind the scenes cool things that make downtown Green Bay cool. Yeah. Because you have like the same philosophy as she does in working with kids to express themselves and things like that. And you're doing the same. And we talk about what are the cool things about Green Bay that people might not know about as much. These are the types of things.
Yeah. You're not going to find this in some mall. Yes. You know, this is just cool space. Yeah. And these story, you actually do a whole storyline and people relate to certain characters.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like I'm working on some books. Essentially, I don't know if like maybe like the millennials might get it, like, but have you ever heard of like Rocko's Modern Life?
Yep.
Like, so I got a book that I'm working on called Paco's Modern Life. And like Paco is kind of like one of the favorite characters. He's a guy with the chainsaw. I should have brought one of the pictures to show y'all. But yeah, he's a guy with the chainsaw. It's about tearing stuff up. But like he has a backstory on why he's like that. You know, like I feel like we all have our own backstories too. And that's what makes us unique. Like I feel like we are essentially like a child, a product of our childhood. It's like those experiences build us up essentially.
Are your characters representing some people that you know? Like, and I really say this because of the Philadelphia, like Bill Cosby said, all the people from the cartoon thing and everything and the things he did, they were actual based on friends of his and people. Do you have that sometimes with your characters?
Well, I mean, honestly, I made them off of emotion.
Okay.
Because I feel like emotion is like energy in motion, essentially. Like for instance, we all have different experiences and I'm trying to figure out ways to correlate those to each and every one of us, you know, cause I feel like sometimes we wake up on the wrong side of the bed, but just waking up on the wrong side of the bed doesn't have to affect us throughout the duration of our day. But unfortunately it does affect some people. So it's just a way to help those people identify what it is that's kind of giving them that, you know, that negative mindset throughout the day to say, hey, you know what? Maybe it's because I did this. Okay, let me just, I'm fine now. And you can kind of correlate that and go about your day accordingly.
Cool.
And not have to feel that.
Very cool. And I want to talk, it's tough to do on radio, but the bright colors, you have some very
really
cool,
vivid
artwork, t-shirts. Tell us about, they are bright, would you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, so the tie-dyes, we were talking about that before.
The tie-dyes, that's right.
Yeah, so like the tie-dyes are something that I take personal because they're all hand done by me. Like, I do all of the tie-dyes, and the reason I do that is because I want to show the uniqueness of the tie-dyes, like, because we're all different, right? And I think that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So typically when you go to the store sometimes, you might either get, like, a setup where as though it's packaged up, or it might be on, like, hangers and clothing racks. But no, it's a tradition I've created through, like, these markets to, you know, scatter them, you know, because I noticed that a lot of people would just rummage through them. Like, you know how, like, when you, as a kid, you get that first gift or that present? Like, I noticed, like, everybody does that. And then that's the unique thing about it, because it's like, oh, this one might be the same color as this one, but the designs are different. And
so if I buy one of your tie-dye t-shirts, there's not another one like it?
No.
Really?
Oh, really.
I wish I would have known that when I was the mayor. Because I would see people. Let me tell you, I don't know that I would have worn it, but I when people would come in, and even if they have a guy came in, he was wearing the exact same sport coat I was, and I just took mine off and just hung it up because you know what I mean? That's always weird to run into somebody that's wearing the exact same thing you are. So, okay, I'm a new customer.
It would have been embarrassing if you and Randy from the city council had worn the same tie-dye shirt to the meeting. So I know he did.
I never worried
poor
about
Randy.
Never worried about wearing the
you
same.
Know Randy? Yeah. Absolutely.
He was your alderman.
Eric, you got your bricks and mortar, but you've got, you know, we're talking about being in the mall, but you've got locations in the malls, right?
Yeah, so I do pop-ups in Appleton. Green Bay Mall is just one of those places where it's every day. It's always there. And I did that because I noticed that everyone kind of says, okay, well, where can I get this? Or how can I, you know, now we got the brick and mortar, obviously, but the mall was just the pinpoint to create the relationships. Mm-hmm. So essentially for me, I feel like the mall is the opportunity to get a good outreach and meet those unique customers. And it's funny how you say that because like you'll get people that walks by and like this one lady, I forget what her name is, but she works at like the pizza place. And she said she walked by the kiosk for 5 weeks looking at this one shirt and it kept changing, but it was the same shirt, but the design was different. And she said, okay, I got to get this one. And it's funny because like you never know how your customers are. So it's that outreach with the mall and those opportunity to see. Awesome.
But you've been on the road in other states too. Yeah. I see you all over the place.
You know what's funny? I actually went to Milwaukee Zoo Sunday, you know, took a trip out there and I actually seen a guy with one of the shirts on.
No kidding. That's awesome.
That's fun.
That's very cool. Well, your brick and mortar, those 200 North Broadway, Suite 200. You had your ribbon cutting yesterday, which had to be super excited. You're really close to the farmer's market on Wednesday nights. I mean, this is just a great situation for you, isn't it?
So yeah, man. But for the farmer's market, I'm like there. Yeah. You know, like, so I do have a booth on the market strip. And then I have the storefront along with the patio. And then I will say that I am working on some projects with Stage One as well, too. So I will keep that in the ropes.
But anybody going to get Bernstein's candy has to go to your place.
Absolutely. But another thing, we're working on some collaborations of candy. So you're going to get some character candy.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, man. Mark's a good guy,
He's a good guy.
Yeah. So these are some of the ideas that we've been kind of coming up with. So I feel like that would be a good opportunity. And also, I want to have, I plan on having exotic candy in the store as well, too. So,
great.
You know.
Are you close to my buddy's fried cheese curd stand?
Fried cheese curds. Now, you know what, man? I do love cheese curds, but sometimes, you know, I'm lactose intolerant, so I got to.
Oh, yeah. Sucks to be you.
Yeah.
I'm not. You'd never know it, but I'm not. Eric Brundage, this is a great thing. Life Love Incorporated, what a great thing you're doing for downtown in Green Bay and throughout the entire state of Wisconsin or whatever. Keep doing it, man, because you're not just an artist. You're bringing a message to it.
Yeah, thank you, man. I really do appreciate it. And thank you guys for having me, man. It's been awesome.
You bet. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Right. And again, if you were talking, you were thinking about maybe getting back into football. You need somebody to throw it around. Yeah. And you remember that day? Man, you look like you've
been
really wanting, throwing.
You've been wanting that warm up, man.
Yeah.
I need you.
You're like, you've been working out and lifting and everything. He said that.
That was one of his characters that said that.
Somebody. When we come back, Douglas Darby, Jacob Jansen, Turning the Page. You don't want to miss this. Back after this. Thinking about less.
Anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Special thanks to all our tremendous guests today, Vanessa Moran and Feed My Starving Children. She was phenomenal. Eric, of course, for Love Life, and Alicia. Doing a great thing for domestic abuse. But now I have a couple of gentlemen that are really trying to make a difference. They are making a difference in the world. Douglas Darby and Jacob Jansen. Turning the Page is the name of your organization. And talk about a small world. Like I said, you were probably like 15 the last time I saw you.
100%.
You used to come to all my Packer shows.
Yeah, and listen to you every morning.
With me and Nick.
Yeah, had the dreams of getting the flying monkey back in the day.
It's not too late.
It's not too late. We'll set that up for the next segment.
Not too late. And Jacob, I don't know you, but I know all about you. So, and you just told Jim, the first time you spoke at a major thing was for Jim's organization here, right?
It was. It was you and Troy Struckenbeck that brought us in and really gave that opportunity to have a public, you know, platform to step up and share a story of not only, you know, the hardships, but recovery.
And you guys go ahead, take it away talk about that whole journey.
We can talk about it as mayors, elected officials, but when you talk about it, I mean, when we hear it from, you, Douglas or Jacob, that's the real deal. I mean, your life has been interesting, but it's been a little challenging.
100%. I think Jake and I are both can agree that we've had great lives. When we got lost, you know, and because we didn't have the education around it, and I'm talking mental health, prescription pills, some of the other illicit drugs, we just didn't know how to reach out. Actually, we didn't know what we were dealing with. When we go out and we have conversations like this, we talk about small town community. We talk about getting together and just providing a service that we never had. And that starts with connection. So
I think the cool thing is the people that went through some turbulent times are the ones that are leading the fight now.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having us here today. I really appreciate it to talk about this important topic. And, you know, Doug and I came from very different backgrounds, but ended up in the same place. You know, I had my parents are still married to this day, still have bottles of alcohol in their cabinets from their wedding 42 years ago. But yet, you know, I still became an IV heroin user and recently was pardoned, actually, 2 years ago.
How does it start?
Trauma.
Okay.
You know, and I think when I talk, I have a saying, pain is inevitable. We're all going to experience it. We all have experienced it. But suffering, that's optional, right? So when we're talking to adolescents, we're trying to cast that net. And again, Jake just mentioned how different our upbringing was. Me going through a loss, you going through a loss, that pain may be understandable, but it's not linear. So when we're talking to kids, like when I got my life together as a 28-year-old, you know, grown man, it hit me that I still dealt with all the issues that I should have been dealing with when I was 15 years old, right? And that was the difference behind it. And because I had a hard time humanizing authority, now it wasn't that I had bad relationships. It's that I didn't understand that the generation that was supposed to guide me went through hard things of their own because, I mean, you guys understand, right? Yeah. Did you talk about your feelings when you were growing up?
Nope.
Exactly.
And for me, it was absolutely about connection. You know, when I was growing up, I got picked on. I got bullied a lot. I felt like I was excluded from that group of friends, and it drove me to look towards substances that were people accepted.
You don't look like the kind of guy that would be easily bullied.
I've grown up.
Okay.
a lot over
But that
years,
makes but, such yeah. a difference, how that really does that to kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we talk about it in the schools, it's about being a better person, a kinder person, you know, holding the door open for people, smiling. It starts at a smaller micro level.
Yeah, I think the magic here is, you know, you are two different people, but, you know, to come together with your different backgrounds and variety, a little bit of different experiences, but yet the same experiences. You guys are both hurting, different causes, but turn to drugs and alcohol, which a lot of people do. And you formed this new corporation called Turning the Page, which I can't think of a better name.
And you survived.
I survived it. But I mean, that is an awesome Turning the Page. That's what a lot of kids want to do.
And if you look at the logo, you'll see that it's that frown face going into the smiley face, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at the bottom corner, that page is still turning as well. And that's just trying to highlight that we're not always stuck in these extreme highs, extreme lows.
Right.
Just because you have a bad day doesn't mean that you are automatically depressed or that you have an anxiety problem. Sometimes it's just understanding that you're not alone. And that was one of my biggest things of getting better was I got to find out that, you know, I wasn't crazy, that there wasn't something wrong with me.
True that. Because I think you start to feel a little isolated, a little bit alone.
Shame, and guilt.
Right. And you guys can get in and say, look, that happened to me too, but it's not really, that's not forever.
Well, and it happens later in life too. When Doug and I met, you know, we actually met on a radio show. I was doing a web radio show, but later in life, he came and met, and we decided that we really wanted to do this and connect.
Yeah, I had a previous organization that I ended up going separate ways. And when I reached out to Jacob, I was ready to, you know, get back on stage, but I wanted to keep it business. And I remember I looked at Jake. I asked him to be my business partner. I said, just so you know, I'm not looking for a friend, Jake.
And that was the one thing that I wanted all my life, right? Was that connection, the friendship. Yeah. And to see it magically form on stage makes it all that much better. We are so different, but so alike in so many ways.
Can I ask you where there was a turning point? And I'm going to ask this both ways, okay? Mm-hmm. What was a turning point where it got so bad you had to say to yourself, holy crap, how did I end up here? And then what was the turning point to say, I do want to survive?
I was facing 57 and a half years in prison for distribution of a little less than a half a gram. And at that point, it was
about 57 and a half years in prison.
Yes, as a nonviolent
felon. Basically a life sentence.
A life sentence. And it was at that point where my lawyer said, Jake, you've been making enough bad frickin' decisions. And I cleaned up the language.
Thank you.
But you need to get some help. And I decided to go get some treatment. And that really taught me, okay, there's some steps and things that I can do to start rebuilding my life.
Wow. Douglas?
You know my family.
Yeah. Great friends.
Great friends, great people, great mother and father.
Yep. Socialized with them.
100%. I had the support to go out. The problem was not only was I deep in a mental addiction, but I ran from that physical addiction. For me, I mean, you know the story. I robbed two pharmacies right here in town. And I went away for almost 5 years. I begged for a second chance, you know, and I got that. But when I went away, what was the difference? Well, the difference was after the detox and stuff, I got to find out who I was. And that was something that I ran from since my dad died at 15, right? And I think kids growing up, we have this tendency to fall into a label. And I'll tell you, no kid ever wants to be the fat kid or the stinky kid or the gay kid or the rich kid or the poor kid or any of those things.
Right.
They just want to find out who they are, right?
Right.
And I didn't find that out until I was an adult. And still, I think we strive for this. You know, I don't want to be Doug recovery. I don't want to be Doug that went to prison. I want to be Doug that's the good father. And what that took was start hanging out with good dads. It started putting myself in a position in the community.
And you pointed at him just now.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it saddens me because you are such a nice kid, but you went through a really, really bad time.
He's a brat when he was 14.
Addiction affects everybody equally.
Hanging around with Vinyl.
This might have been what set him off on a bad life. Tell him what happened one night at the Donald Driver show.
So I just told this story right before. We were at the Razzmatazz, of course, and I was in the signing line to get autographs and whatnot, and I had my soda, and I set it down next to yours, and I went to pick up my glass, and it was yours. Mm. And what I just assumed was a water or whatnot was a
glass of gin,
low ball of vodka on ice,
absolute vodka.
Wow,
that shocked you a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Was that? I hope that didn't send you back. Were you in recovery then?
No, you're 14.
Oh, you're 14. Yeah. All right.
You know, although we speak about the drinking culture in Green Bay, that was the one thing that I never participated in when I was a kid, was drinking. And I felt like it bolstered me. You know, when my friends were getting underages or DUIs even, I was walking out of parties with a bag of weed and blowing all zeros and getting my car. And because I had an education, we had this education where it was just, this is your brain, this is your brain on drugs, just say no method. It also implied that you could just say yes, right? And because I wasn't learning about things like prescription drugs, at 15, a doctor prescribed it. How bad could it possibly be?
Right. Yeah.
I knew about illicit drugs. I knew what heroin was.
And that was right in that area where they were handing out like candy.
Most of my addictions came from my prescription pills.
Really?
Yeah. And that's what you talk about. And so when you start, you know, like, I thought I was lied to. I thought that Not only did these drugs not do that to my brain, they brought me connection. I was good at getting high, John. You know, I wasn't the kid that was proud to bring home his report card home. I never threw the winning touchdown pass.
I was.
Right?
You threw the winning touchdown pass?
No, but I did have the straight A report card.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Scholar athlete.
No kidding.
You're the only
Where'd
one,
you go to school?
You're the only New one Berlin in this
West.
Room.
New Berlin? Okay.
New Berlin West, 99 graduate.
Awesome.
Just that he's the only one.
He's just giving me shots. Don't pay no attention.
Exactly. Just let it go right over your head. I'm glad you said shots.
Yeah.
Tell me, so what do you guys do that people can connect with? You go to schools. I was just reading a little about you, but I've heard you speak, and you guys are terrific.
So a lot of my trauma started, I identified back in third grade. I got glasses. I think I was bullied, picked on. It was really, I didn't fit in with the peer group. I fit in better with the adults in my life at 13 than I did with the kids. And, you know, when the adults first handed me that beer and I drank it around the campfire, I thought, wow, I fit in. You know, I feel like an adult. And it was that idea of connection, that this connects me to people.
Now, we've got people, and we talked about a mutual friend, and you're talking about phenomenal parents, loving, caring, will do anything, everything for them.
Listening right now.
And still lost it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Still lost that loved one. It's got to be frustrating when you guys go and talk to some of these kids to let them know, guys, this can happen to you. Because I think even some of the kids might think, oh, no, my parents are too good, nice. There's a fine line, isn't there?
I'll tell you what we do, John. So we go in, and Jake and I, we bare our souls for 90 minutes in the hopes that we can break the ice with these kids just enough.
And we do something called the truth presentation, teaching resiliency using trust and honesty.
That's awesome.
Right. And so we go in, we break the ice, and we relive those hard days. You know, I'm up there talking about, you know, the suicide of my father and, you know, the day that I walked into those pharmacies and robbed them, the day that machine guns were put to the back of our head and we were arrested. We talk about that to show that pain is still real, and to hopefully have those kids come up, shake our hand, share something with us, and make us not feel so alone.
It's about that connection, you know, and after we speak, they're more likely to access the resources that are already available in the schools.
And another thing, you know, Jim works at the community shelter with homeless. Mm-hmm. And I told him something this morning. I said, you know, when I first went there, I wouldn't know who was the homeless person, who was a volunteer, and who was an office worker. And that's all part of that pride. And what I'm saying, and Jim and I have had this talk so many times, and he's had people on his show that he brings in who are very successful people. And just things can happen so fast, and that slope is so steep at times, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, when I was 15, I never once said, when I grow up, I want to be a junkie.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that was never the mindset. It was never my mentality. But I did find something that worked with my own trauma. And when you talk about that self-medication, by the time I even realized what was going on, now it wasn't a matter of, oh, I got to get sober. Now it was a matter of, I can never run out.
I was a hedge fund manager at 20 years old. About $1 billion went through my hands a week. First time I was arrested, I was in a suit.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But like you said, even be at the...
Man, you guys have a story to tell.
Yeah, you do. But even but he makes a good point, though. And we've had some successful people end up in our homeless shelter, right? And but they it's the connections that they need to make to rebuild their lives. Yes, and yes. I'd like to think I'm one of them, but they so many things. And there's organizations like yourself, but there's help out there, but you got to get connected.
I ran sober homes for 7 years in Waukesha, owned and operated. Awesome. And it was all about connection and helping them set stage appropriate goals and action plans and, you know, putting in the work to get what they want. Find the support and connection.
Let me put it the other way, though. I've been sober 13 years. I've spoken to 270,000 kids over that time. Wow. I've been on Forbes, the Huffington Post, you know, some good things. But guess what? My life has still been difficult. I've still had rough patches. Yeah, I've still had to find out how to navigate this world without substances in my life. And I think that's what we need to remember is it's not just someday we finish this finish line.
I won. It's over.
Yeah. Right. This is something that I work for and I strive. And guess what? I don't take a step forward every day. But when I do have a bad day, it's not me staying in bed for the next 3 days.
And that's why we're really pushing this truth campaign in the schools, because it's so important to hit the youth. You know, they're not just going to be the next generation that's using drugs or alcohol. They're going to be the next generation of teachers and doctors and nurses and lawyers.
The people that my kid and Jake's kids are looking up to. You know, I raise a 5-year-old little boy, you know, in this community, and dad's only going to be so cool for so long. So, you know, and we'll end it with this. The coolest thing I think about our program is not only going in working with the students, but on the back end, we connect them to a virtual care navigation center that allows them to reach out for services right here in the community.
Support and connection.
Turning the Page is the name. We're going to send it a quick break. You guys aren't going anywhere.
Sounds good.
I'm keeping you here. This is too fascinating.
I like it. Awesome.
We'll be back right with Douglas Darby and Jacob Jansen, Turning the Page, right after this. Hey, welcome back. Very important segment here with Douglas Darby, Jacob Jansen. The name of their mission is Turning the Page, to really, really talk to kids early on about how two very normal, well-established, smart, completely intelligent people can end up where you ended up. And I just want to say this, where you guys ended up was behind bars. And I'm sure kids ask you all the time, what's it really like in prison? So I'm going to ask you guys, what's it really like in prison?
It's lonely.
That's exactly boring. What I was gonna say. It's lonely and boring.
Yeah, you're around a bunch of bums, and I can say that because I was a bum. So just let me put it out there. My life did change there, though. You know, here's the kicker. I had to be a 7-time convicted felon to go get the treatment that I deserved, though.
They wouldn't give it to you before that?
Well, I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it.
Oh, right. I got you. Because you're owned by choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was one of the things. Okay, let's say you're someone that's first time really trying to. You know, let's say I'm a parent and my kid is 16, and he is going through some struggles. The best care that my insurance, even if I have the best insurance out there, is probably going to get me about 28 days of inpatient. Right. 28 days. I had to be a 7-time convicted felon, and I went away for 6 months. And when you talk about like recidivism rates in Wisconsin, we're talking high 90%. You know, if you're in the system, you're going to go back. It's about $37,000 a year to incarcerate a male like me, a little bit more for women. And to go through the 6-month program is about $90,000. But I got out 3 years early and I never went back.
Wow. How about yourself?
What's jail and prison like?
So boring and lonely. For me, it was an exercise in sleep deprivation and stress management. You know,
really?
I had learned all of these skills because remember, I had 9 months of incarceration after I got clean. I was 10 and a half months clean when I was actually sentenced. So I had to develop all of these life skills and tools to learn how to cope with my emotions and feelings and life. And then I got to jail and a lot of that was taken away. So I had to learn a secondary skill set on how to deal with my problems.
So you take all those experiences, which a lot of us haven't had, and yet you have, and you didn't just put it behind you. You're living, you're sharing that. And you create these communities in schools, right? Am I right that you're in schools?
Yeah. So you just said it right there, creating communities. When we talk about changing the world, I'm talking about the 3 minutes it takes to walk from math class to science class. That's the world I want to change.
All right.
Right?
I get it. And so these kids come and I guess you talk to the principal, or I don't know how you get into the schools, but I think every school should have you in.
Agreed. And I think that's where the cool thing is. For the first 6 years of my career here, I was like a struggling musician. If I wasn't on stage, I wasn't, providing for my family. Since teaming up with Jake, that was the beautiful thing about it. So here Jake and I, we are forming our LLC, and this is back in 2020. And he's forming the LLC. I'm writing a grant for Brown County, and we get it. And it was the first time in my working career that I had a community, a county, back us up, say we're going to take the fiscal financial responsibility of this. And what it allowed us to do was to go to every school in the county and say, just book us.
And now on top of this, we've developed metrics that are non-invasive questions that the students answer that can show us how effective we are. And
how effective are we,
Jay? We're batting 99.7% of all students. And remember, we're talking about substance abuse and mental health at 9 a.m. in the morning for an hour and a half. And we get a 99.7% say we should continue doing this in the schools.
And the other thing I want our listeners to know is that it's not that school has problems and this one doesn't.
No.
I'm even dealt with that.
Jim, I'm from the mean streets of Howard to Tuamotu. Yeah.
Okay. Right? All I know is that some of these private schools, we sent the dogs in there and they were scratching lockers too. You know? I mean, it's just, so it's everywhere. That's my point. And so every school needs you. Small communities, larger.
And Jim, this wasn't a failure of Bayport High School. This wasn't a failure of my parents. This was something where I just didn't understand because I didn't know that something the size of an aspirin, a Vicodin pill, or a Percocet, something that you could go and get a tooth removed and they give you 30 of them, I didn't know that wasn't synthetic heroin.
You got to remember these.
They won't anymore. Trust me. I had some very painful work done recently.
We
and I was complaining because they
ruined it for everyone.
Yes, you did.
These aren't bad kids trying to get good. They're sick kids needing to get well once you get
that's awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, I don't care that kids use drugs. And I know that sounds weird. I care why.
That's great. So this, you know what? I've done a lot of things with DARE program, and God bless them. They try they try as hard as they can. But
honestly, they're amazing. Don't get me wrong.
We're going to be truth or dare.
Yeah.
Truth and dare.
But that's what I mean. You guys go to you pull back a different curtain.
Yes.
When I got out of prison in 2013, I walked out into the perfect storm. We saw everything that was going on with OxyContin and Purdue Pharmaceuticals. We saw the heroin epidemic explode, and this is before fentanyl, it's a different world that we live in.
Yeah.
And even when we're going into schools, the first thing I'll say is I'm not here to say if you've drank a beer, smoked a joint. We're not out there pushing prohibition. We want people to survive. Because, I was saved 3 times from Narcan.
But I think that's why it works, right? It's because, they're different kids are going to take different things from different approaches. So while the police officer may impact one group of students, we're going to impact a very different group of students. And to have the school resource officers behind us and watch the presentations and go, this is amazing. You need to come speak to other school resource officers.
All right. So you're doing this not really one student at a time, but one school at a time. And maybe it does come down to one school at a time, or one student at a time. But tell me, legislatively, on a bigger picture, what are we missing here? Because things aren't getting better. I got articles I can show you, right? Things are not. And I got Narcan in my desk that I am trained to use, haven't.
Awesome. That's amazing, Jim. That's awesome. You saying that right there, that speaks volumes. So I carry Narcan to every show. It's in my glove box. We're talking about saving lives here. And I'll go back to what you just first said. We're not doing this for one kid. If we were doing it for one kid, we're already losing. Yeah. Okay, that's how bad the problem is right now.
I'm just going to throw this real quick. How bad is fentanyl out here in Green Bay?
Terrible.
Terrible.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere. And again, this isn't a Green Bay thing.
No, but it's
a community thing that can and will solve this. And again, we're never going to eradicate the need or the want for these drugs or the need to escape. What we can do is offer better coping mechanisms before these drugs take effect. We know the rates of success if kids just wait. So again, we're gonna let them get through this survival part of growing up, and hopefully give them better services than we received.
And as hard as we try, we're not gonna really cut off the supply. Never. There's just way too much money, and there's way too many creative people in that. So it's got to be the demand side.
So we're fighting the demand, and that's what I've said for a long time.
Well, and you have a drug dealer that's they're not going in front of a board to get approval. They're just pumping it out on the streets.
Right.
Okay, www.turningthepagenow.com.
That's it.
Beautiful. You guys are phenomenal. Douglas Darby, Jacob Jansen, thank you for taking what could have been the worst thing of your entire life, or was probably the worst thing of your entire lives, and you're saving people because of it. I think this is phenomenal what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Always the silver lining.
Yep.
Super.
Keep the hope, people.
Good guys.
Great guys. Great guys. Great guys. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Great lineup we had today. Todd, wonderful work again, putting it all together. You are the man.
What?
You're going to ride your bike home.
I am.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Because he's like, I got to get quarters. I got to go fill my meter.
You act like parking's bad.
Oh, no, I don't.
All right.
Congratulations. We'll be back in tomorrow morning. Mino the Mayor. See ya.